When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well met, fellow adventurers. Once again, we are back in the land of Swith, and I'm playing as Sir Croakington. And in the last adventure, we caught up with a mage that had somehow got herself turned into a painting, and now we have to seek out the seven glyphs that will somehow get her out of that. Which I'll probably kill her immediately afterwards. But after 2 centuries in a painting, that's a relief. And so, notice the thing about this adventure is, when you're on it, it tells you where next to go in the adventure finder. So if you say stop in the middle of it, which is quite possible to happen because it's a rather long adventure, and then forget about it, you'll then say, oh, the adventure finder will say, oh yeah, you're still doing this is the next bit. Anyhow, now it is time to go to the Bubbling Cauldron Tavern. We've already been there. That's in Fairy Falls and the Moonlight Lake region. We've already read the description, so we'll just enter in the previous episode. No need to explore any more. Small alcove. The small alcove set into the offside of the Paleo Den, spacious common room. It's empty save for a rather striking painting affixed to the wall. The curious piece of art is a masterful portrait of an aging, balding man with a short, cropped black beard, a long, angular nose, narrow jaw, and a set of thick eyebrows. As you gaze at the painting, you can't help but feel the subject's dark eyes are following your every move. It's almost the same feeling you get when looking upon Githela's portrait in the Pavordian outhouse. A faint blue aura surrounds the painting. Let's investigate it some more. Now it's a vivid blue aura. Okay, something's happening. Subject's dark eyes are following you every move. Alright, look, one more look. Strong blue aura surrounds the painting. We have a suddenly.
You! Yes, you! Why are you staring at me?
The sharp voice, seemingly from nowhere, causes your heart to skip a beat. Instinctively, your eyes dart to the portrait, where you are startled to find the bearded subject, now animated, has fixed its hawkish gaze upon it.
"Don't deny it," snapped the man in the painting. "What is it you want from me? After all these years, I would have thought the Kraken, Cloudon Rook the Wise, might have rested in peace. Without all the insufferable ogling of passers-by, your insolence, my fair lady, is certainly not for want. Leave me alone to contemplate my failings. You know nothing of what haunts me."
After glancing around and realizing no one seems to have taken notice of the strange event unfolding in the alcove, you turn back to the painting, which you now know to be Cladden Rook, the mage that's protective magic gone awry imprisoned both himself and Githelia.
What are you? What are you worried about? Snarls Clatterbrook. Afraid someone might overhear? Let them hear! All those fools do is hear! But do they listen? Ah! We are wise at the key to everything. Listening is what's important. There's hearing, and there's listening, and they are most certainly not the same!
Interrupting Clatterbrook's rant, you ask? You're telling of your encounter with Githeo's portrait in the Pavilion outhouse. He then immediately adopts a more somber tone.
Ah, I see, he says.
It gladdens me to know that she is around. I guess she mentioned the stones, the ones bearing the glyphs.
Is that so?
Yes.
I always knew she would have figured things out.
She's as clever as they come, despite her opinion of me.
Gladderbrook's features sharpen as he glances around. If you must know, and I'm saying you must, I do not blame her for our identical plights, she says. It was her doing, her folly, her incurable lust to peer into the dark arts that led to what resulted in our present piteous states. But I might blame myself for much of that.
For a moment, Clatterbrook falls silent as a look of anguish passes over his face. I did what I did to protect her. Protect them. All of us. But something went very wrong. I attempted a counterspell. Oh, what folly. It was, of course, too soon. But there wasn't time to wait. The magic mingled with, and then the stones. Oh, what a terrible mistake. He sighs and hangs his head before looking up to meet your gaze. Help me escape this wretched jail. Gale, spelled G-A-O-L, and I'll set things right, once and forever, he says. There are things to which I must attend, but they have no meaning to you. But they mean everything to me. Clatterbrook's painted image, now alive within the portrait, tells you that Cathalia, formerly his apprentice, long dabbled in curses and hexes, seeking knowledge of such shadowy facets of the arcane. She was my pupil, he says. And I did what I could to persuade her from such a dangerous task, but she would have none of it. The forbidden ways are tempting, there's no denying that. I loved her, if the truth is to be known. I would have done anything for her. And for them. It's all now so long ago, but I feel it still matters. Clatterbrook told you that Githelia's ill-advised venture into the dark arts unleashed a malevolent force bent on her destruction. That when Githelia's ill-advised venture into the dark arts unleashed a malevolent force bent on her destruction. He hastily summoned magic projector. I endeavoured to trap her in a snare from which she could be released once the danger was past, he says, the expression betraying the powerful emotions bound to the recollection. Needless to say, something went wrong. Nothing worked as it should had. The entities she released into the world had corrupted my magic. Clatterbrook reveals that he endeavoured to trap Gifolo into a magical, living portrait to protect her from the full force that sought to destroy her. It was all I could think to do. That thing would have devoured her, he says. I didn't understand the entity's power until I'd already summoned magic. It was like nothing I'd ever before or since felt. Clatterbrook tells you, the magic he channeled to hurl Gifolo into the painting was then turned back on him, and he was instantly ensnared in a second portrait. I acted as a desperate man, he says, but that is in the past. I do not bemoan my fate. But I do that of Gifela, more importantly. My blunder served to coolly mar two who deserved nothing of the misfortune our disappearances would cast their way. The painted figure of Clatterbrook, whose face distorts every time he speaks, tells you that if you gather the seven stones bearing his glyph,
the counterspell they collectively contain will sunder. Sunder the magic that binds him and Cathalia to the portraits. 200 years is quite a long time to contemplate on. Contemplate the inalterable, he says. Believe what you will, but I still care for her. Cathalia, time has come to abandon this unnatural preservation. But you will need to help me, and not just me. Please know that I'm the very least who it is you will be helping. There are two little ones Githera and I took in as our own, he says. Street urchins they were, abandoned by what passed for the kin. We loved them dearly, of course, but they bore the brunt of our incessant feuding and suffered the grim consequences of our downfall. Their fates remain unknown to me. Did Cathara mention them? When you reply, she did make a rather cryptic reference to being able to still see them, both of them. The painted figure solemnly nods. Much as Githalia did, Clattenbrook reveals he will almost certainly die shortly after being released from the painting. For he is quick to say that does not lessen his desire for freedom. I'm prepared to face whatever the final adventure brings. I suppose the same must be true of her and them, he says. My last wish that we will face the remainder of our story together. For a moment, Clatterbrook's features seem to soften, and a sad look passes across his face. He sighs and shakes his head. We might have been happy if we put our... We put our squabbles aside and done what's best for those we'd sworn to protect, he says. We were both quite unyielding within our convictions. Saddest of all, and certainly my gravest regret, is the misery our selfish feuds thrust upon two innocent souls. Their lives would have certainly been different, undoubtedly better, without our blighting interference. Suddenly, the painted wizard, his eyes clouding, locks gazes with you. Did she have anything to say about me, he asks. You clearly recall some of Githela's more choice words regarding Clatterbrook, which is now a fateful decision. Inexplicably, you feel your destiny may in some way be linked to the choice you're about to make. So I've got three options. Kel Cadarok, she spoke fondly of him. Kel Cadarok, she said little of them. And recite to him some of their exact words. You know, I'm going to use wanyu.org for this, because I don't know what's the best option. And as one of those Hand of Fate choices, its consequences are unknown, because that hasn't really been implemented yet. Alright, number three has been chosen. Recite to her, to him, some of her exact words. For a fleeting instant, Cadarok's eyes darken, and a look of unbridled rage crosses his face, only to be quickly replaced by a somber expression. Sure, Ace knew how to cut with her words, he says bitterly, his voice trailing off in a snarl. Let it be so. There is no time to tarry on such petulance. That is what brought us to this spot. There is much to be done. Clatterbrook beseeches you to retrieve the 7 stones, again promising to set things right once he's free from the portrait. They're flat, rounded grey stones, he says, each of them bearing my mark in blue, a glyph, as it were. It's a task that seems nigh and impossible. This is not lost on me. But it's a task that requires someone of your mettle. The kind of mettle I've been waiting 2 centuries to encounter. You're a rarity in this lamentable age. Take great pride in that. Suddenly, Cladderbrook's blurred visage adopts a shrewd look. And he says something that both startles you and immediately piques your interest. You must begin your search in the city of Port Halleck, he says, grimacing as if the revelation goes against his better judgment. Yes. You're no doubt wondering how it is I know that. Well, I don't know it, at least not with a degree of certainty. However, being stuck in this painting does have its advantages when it comes to crafty practices like eavesdropping. Cutterwork tells you that nearly 50 years ago, while his portrait hung in a tavern in Trivik, he overheard two carpenters discussing a strange stone they had encountered while repairing the floor of some place called the Fleeing Quarry in Port Halleck. Well, that is convenient. That it just so happened that the two people that had come across this stone just happened to talk about it when right next to him. I mean, it might be they talk about it all the time, but... And probably at some point other people have come across it, but still, it's very unlikely. But, well, you just got to accept that. That, because... When you're an author, sometimes you just have to tweak the odds a bit in your favour so things happen. While repairing the floor of some place. Strange stone they encountered while repairing the floor of some place called the Fleeing Quarry in Port Halleck. According to what the men said, the stone was hidden in a hollow beneath an iron plate affixed to the floor near the fireplace. Okay, Fleeing Quarry, that does sound like the name of a pub, or a tavern, or something else. Something like that. It was almost certainly one of my glyph stones, he says, his voice suddenly muffled. How did it get there? Who's to say? Is it still there? I don't pretend to know such a thing. But it's the only clue I've got to give you. Cutterwork, his words becoming less distinct with every passing moment. I'm just going to talk as normal for it. You just imagine it's becoming less distinct, because you don't get subtitles on a podcast, so I can't really make it less distinct and have you still understand it. He tells you that each of the glyph mark stones you discover will somehow point you in the direction of the next ones. The seven stones were a staple of my magic, he says proudly, his voice suddenly clearing. I use them to store all manner of magic. Through never a counter spell. And certainly never for as long as 200 years. Ah, but magic is timeless. And the stones all but indestructible. And then there's you, the only one capable of even attempting such an endeavour. If you were to ask me, I place great faith in the chance for a successful outcome. As before, his face rapidly distorts before we continue speaking. All I want is a chance to set it right. So, do I tell Cladderwook about the death hex or not? You know what? I'm going to tell him. I'm going to ask. So you see what happens if you do ask. Death Hex, he says, his voice somewhat garbled. How did you manage to get yourself one of those? Githalia? Ha! An old trick, I'd surmise. I very much doubt the Hex is real. And if it is, you needn't be overly concerned, at least not quite yet. Death Hex. Very doubtful indeed. Cladderwork's painted face twists into a malted mash. Though his voice momentarily clears. I wonder how it is she managed to project her magic out of the painting. Must be some trick. The very notion defies all reason. Never mind any of that. It's almost certainly not a real hex. But just to be sure, I'm going to just get this thing solved. Get this thing solved in one go. Admittedly, I know nothing happens because I left another character just mid-quest for several years. Anyhow. Also, it'd be really, really annoying.
Especially, say, if you saved after you got the hex, just before you're doomed, and the GM wouldn't, it just wouldn't make sense. Although, admittedly, you could, there is a way it could kill you, but just not in a permanent way. And also, it would be creating a whole load of extra content for something the overwhelming majority of people will never see, because when you start a quest, you finish it. You probably do all the bits either in one sitting, or if you've got things to do, a couple of sittings. Cladderwalk's face becomes distorted, and his voice begins to sound distant and garbled. Hurry off. Off to Port Haddock. Godspeed and safe travels. You are our last hope. And you no doubt need to know my mark. My glyph looks like... Suddenly, a fiery blue image of three lines, over which bent arcs of Ben Tower, appears in your mind. Before you can come... Fiery blue image of three eyes over which arcs a pentarrow appears in your mind. Before you can completely focus on the curious symbol, it vanishes. The painted likeness of Cladderwalk does not again speak. Alright, we've got a box here. Cladderwalk seven glyphs. The seven glyph mark stones you need to find are hidden in various places throughout the kingdom. Be sure to search far and wide. The stones could be anywhere. As instructed by Cladderwalk, your search should now begin by visiting the fleeing quarry in Port Haddock, that's in Northern Tysa. According to what the trap wizard told you, you'll just seek out an iron plate affixed to the wall next to the fireplace. Alright, let's get going. Need to travel. Western Tysa, Northern Tysa, which only has Port Haddock in it. Yeah. Actually, I think this might be the emptiest of all the quadrants. Western's got a lot of stuff. Southwest is stuffed. The Central has Talonus. Southern has, well, yep. Lots of stuff in every quadrant except the Northern. Well, it kind of makes sense because most of Northern Tysa is the Sarn split. And that's water. Very dangerous water. Although, admittedly, Sarngard Island would be there, but you can't get to it normally. You have to go through the portal in Thane Poland's area, and that's only available for a brief period of time. Yeah, you know, before you start it, and then it ends. Although I suspect at some point we will be going back there. Anyway, to Port Haddock. The bustling city of Port Haddock is the kingdom's largest and busiest seaport. Ships from across the realms drop anchor here, while their cargoes are unloaded and their stocks replenished. The city's harbour, a wide, natural cove, convenient, offers a relatively safe inlet from the wild harbours of the Sundrun Sea. Much of the Tyson Navy is located here, and a large garrison of the kingdom's army is maintained within the ancient walled port. Okay, let's look. Maybe it's the harbour? Alright, you stroll through the seaport's harbour district, marvelling at the many different ships from across the realms that have dropped anchor in the wide cove. Across the harbour, several massive bells toll out a distinct pattern of sound that echoes along the wharfs. So, you can seek passage aboard a ship, visit Royal Guards Emporium, investigate a fire-ravaged building. Right, what is this fire-ravaged building? Standing before the partially collapsed remains of the charred building, your eyes are drawn to a sign leaning up against the structure, which reads,
the Boiled Hammer. Needless to say, this alehouse, once a favourite along the wharfs, won't be but open for business any time soon. Move away. What is Wilgart's Emporium? Wilgart's Emporium is a small, cluttered shop owned and operated by Wilgart Grindelock, a sea captain of great renown, now retired from a life spent on the waves. Captain Grindelock spent the better part of his legendary career making the perilous voyage to and from Arcandor, overseeing a fleet of three ships that served the transport needs of an ever-growing Dukurin oil trade. There doesn't appear to be anyone here at the moment. The small bell rests on the table and ring the bell. Nope, nothing happens. Alright, let's inquire about the fleeing quarry. That's what we're here for. You make numerous inquiries throughout the harbour district regarding the fleeing quarry, but no one seems to have any information about an establishment bearing that name. Suddenly, just as you're about to abandon your efforts, an old man, his unsteady gait checked by the apt use of a stout wooden cane, approaches you and advises to make an inquiry. Yeah, Wingsoul's Hides. May be a crusty old salt, but he knows more about this city than perhaps anyone else, he says. Tell you, he heard about your desire to locate a place known as the Fleeing Quarry. Have you ever been to his hide shop? Quite the sight, to be sure. He might be able to tell you something, though. You thank the old man, who simply nods and shuffles off along the quayside. You might wish to make an inquiry at Brixall's Hide. Okay, I will. Move elsewhere in the city. Visit Brixall's Hide. Now, this is a place that has been in the game for probably 2 decades by now, maybe more. Brixall's is a bustling, well-ordered shop, run by no other than Mayhall Brixall himself. There are many stories regarding the former sea captain's adventures on the high seas, but it is in declining years he contents himself with running an emporium, mostly consisting of hide and non-metal pieces of armour. So you can have a look around here, view the items for sale here. So, you've got, it's quite a lot of different armour. There's your shark spin belt, 1 stamina point, rugged hide belt, 2 stamina points, Trosk hide belt. I'm going to buy them because they're different. Okay, that's 600 gold spent. I now have 3 weird belts. Okay, they're not. Venomhorn shell breastplate. That's 6 SP. Of course, it's way worse than what I already have, but and alright, I'm just buying all the unique stuff. Yeah, these are. Yeah, I just could buy this stuff. Thick hide boots, twin troll skin boots. Okay, just bought a lot of stuff. Okay, now I'm going to store all this stuff in my residence. Okay, time to ask about the fleeing quarry. It takes some effort to get Mayhall Brixall into a conversation, but once you dove into a topic that strikes his fancy, his career as a sea captain, it begins to seem doubtful he will ever run out of tales. At last, he concludes a particularly interesting encounter, a ghost ship he once encountered off the coast of Sargard Island, and pauses to take a quite necessary breath, you interject with an inquiry about the fleeing quarry. A confused look passes over Mayhill's face. but he slowly begins to nod as if recalling something from amidst his vast repository of memories. "The fleeing quarry," he repeats, stroking his chin, which I'm doing. Well, even though this is a podcast, it obviously you can't see it. "The name does strike me as something I've heard of, though I'd not be so brash to say I quite recall more than that." For several minutes, Mayhor embarks on a tedious exercise of verbal accounting of all the places in Port Halleck, past and present, with which he's familiar. Finally, he admits he's at a loss. "You might make mention of name to Slyas Morville, the city magistrate," says Mayhor. He can avail himself of the old port records.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If there's any mention to be had of the fleeing quarry, Silas should be able to drag it up. You thank Mayhor, who smiles and nods, telling you to stop by from time to time whenever you're up for a tale or two about the sea. "Tell Silas that I sent you," he adds, as you make ready to depart. "He can be a bit irritable. My name doesn't quite carry the weight it once had, but it will resonate with old Silas." You thank Mayhor and bid him farewell before leaving his shop. You should pay a visit to the Port Magistrate, Slyas Morville. Alright, time to visit the City Magistrate. And this is a new place that was added just for this quest, you can tell by the section numbers. Slyas Morville, the elderly magistrate, whose office oversees all aspects of law and commerce within Port Halleck, spends most of his days auditing the detailed archive of records as he toils to produce an exhaustive history of the storied seaport. The white-haired magistrate, not one for idle conversation, is known for his quick temper and his dislike for having to interrupt his demanding work. "Is there something you need?" asks Acidus, sighing as he looks up from the large tome he's been perusing. I don't know how that's pronounced. "Inquire about the fleeing quarry." Silas's eyes narrow, and a hint of a smile falls as his lips as you inquire about the fleeing quarry. "And why would you want to know about a thing like that?" he asks, clapping his hands atop the open tome. "Seems a rather odd inquiry, if I may be allowed to say so." "Okay, what if I just repeat my inquiry?" Stalus seems perturbed when you repeat your inquiry, despite your best effort to remain diplomatic. I don't know that I should be required... to provide such information as there might be to anyone who wanders in here," he says. "Such a thing could prove troublesome." Undeterred by his lack of cooperation, you embark on an attempt to sway his desire to stonewall you. Well, I can get it, because honestly, if he agrees to look up this thing, he could be searching for hours and hours, possibly for something absolutely trivial.
So he's remember this isn't good. This isn't like in the Google modern times where you can just put in a name and it's there. He's got to physically lift the really big books, and they're probably not that well organized. You don't know what big tomes is going to be in. It'll be a lot of work. So I can understand him not wanting to start unless, you know, there's a really good reason. All right, here's a check. Picking a number from 1 to 100. Bonus of 30, 20 from diplomacy, 10 from aura. Got to get 50 or more to pass. Pick now. 85, success. 8xp to general. After nearly a minute of verbal sparring, during which you manage to maintain an admirable level of civility, you finally break the magistrate's resolve. Very well. If it will please you and win me back my peace, he says, deftly turning through the pages of the tome before him. The fleeing quarry, did you say? Yes, all right. Let's see what the book has to say about it. Well, convenient that he had the white book active. I don't know, maybe this was, I don't know, the... probably the land registry or something. It just said this building was found in the year bleep 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 doop under the blah 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 blah, was owned by this person. It was registered as this. Taxes are paid, and so something like that. Maybe this book has to say about it. It takes the better part of an hour, but Solus Moonfall eventually locates an entry in the massive tome that makes mention of the fleeing quarry, identifying it as a tavern located in the harbour district. As he slowly reads the entry aloud, you learn the fleeing quarry, while remaining a tavern, has undergone many changes in both name and appearance since it was first built nearly 300 years ago. The most recent name of the establishment, originally known as the Flaming Quarry, is the Bald Hut. We've been there! Pity about that old place, says Silas, looking up from the tome. As you may not know, the Bald Hammer burnt down not long ago. Very mysterious, I might add. We don't have many fires in this city, so it's always with suspicious eye that such incidents are greeted, and rightfully so. Solus tells you you can find what's left of the Bald Hammer in the city's harbour district. The owner was one of the Orifil lot, he says, making mention of one of the more prominent of Port Halleck's established families. Lots of trouble in that line going many years back. Having discovered the location of the fleeing quarry, you thank Silas, who does his best to ignore you, and take your leave of the magistrate. Alright, time to save. And now to the harbour. Investigate this fire-ravaged building. Standing before the par. Yep, it's the Bald Hammer again. Explore the charred ruins. You cautiously move into the charred ruins of the Bald Hammer, noting the most fire-ravaged and dangerous portions of the burned-out alehouse. So you search for any sign of the iron floor plate mentioned by Gladwick. Pick your number. Bonus of 61, 10 from mine, 10 from aura, 34 from thievery, and 7 from luck. So the thievery skill is, thievery number is your thievery skill, well, not times by 2, it's some sort of multiplier of the thievery skill, and luck, plus 7 from luck. Got to get 90 or more for success. Pick now. 131, success. You sift through the remains of the outhouse interior, seeking the metal floor plate described to you by Cladwalk. After several minutes of searching, you pause to look around before once again
resuming your hunt through the fire, rubbish, debris. I'm guessing we're going to have to... I'm guessing because there was a fire, you've got bits of wall that fell down, you've got the roof that fell down, probably tables and gunk that's fallen down. People have probably been throwing things there, dumping things there, because, hey, no one's there. It's a convenient place to put things you want to get out of the way. And for, yes. Imagine so anything on the floor, especially if it was the floor of the basement, would be long hidden. You could. This is one of those multi-part skill checks. So you keep doing the skill check over and over again until the total number gets high enough. You continue to warily scour the burnt-out outhouse, searching for the metal foreplate described to you by Cadarok. So pick a number. Same bonuses, but now you just got to get plus 80 or more. Pick now. 72. Failure. Suddenly. While picking through a pile of wood and stone, a sharp splintering sound overhead reaches your ears, only a split second before a deluge of debris wends down, knocking you to the floor. 25 damage. Bloodied and dazed, drawing deep, ragged breaths, you slowly regain your feet before warily resuming your hunt through the burned out alehouse. You continue to warily scour the burnt out alehouse, searching for the metal floor plate described to you by Cadarok. Right, bonus 61, success 90, pick now. 126 success. You sift through the remains of the outhouse interior, seeking the metal floor plate described to you by Cadarok. After several minutes of searching, you pause to look around before once again resuming your hunt through the fire ravaged debris. Alright, same trick again. Success is 90. Pick now. 90. No. The success was 80. You shift through the remains. Alright, keep going. Same check again. Bonus 61. Success 80. 124. And same check again. Bonus 61. Success 90. 123. After several minutes of searching, you paused to look around before once again resuming your hunt through the fire-ravaged debris. Suddenly, you spot something on the floor, partially buried beneath a heap of rubble. You hurriedly clear off the section of the floor immediately at your feet and discover a sizable iron plate bolted to the ancient wooden planks. Despite having taken some damage during the fire that raised the outhouse, the wood through which the plate's four iron bolts pass remains solid and is holding the piece of iron fast. After giving yourself enough space in which to work, you set about endeavouring to remove the iron plate. Alright, I guess I've made sure that nothing will fall on me while I'm doing this, or at least try to. Using select pieces of your equipment and useful bits of debris, you begin to pull and pry at the iron plate, attempting to tear it from the floor to which it's so long been anchored. I think, like, I don't know, something like a crowbar would come in handy. And many other tools. Don't know if I have one. Pick a number. Bonus of 50. 20 from might, 20 from body, 10 from spirit. So that's as good a bonus as you're ever going to get with that. Unless the game ever finds a way for you to raise those stats above 20. And you know what? It might happen. Pick now. 113. You pull and pry at the iron plate, straining as you attempt to whip it out of the floor. After several moments, you pause to regain your strength, confident with considerable effort, you'll be able to tear free the piece of iron. Alright, I'm guessing one of the nails is moved up just a little bit. Or something like that. Ignoring your growing fatigue, you continue to pull and pry out the iron plate, attempting to tear it from the floor to which it's so long been anchored. Same check again, 55. You pull and pry at the iron plate, attempting... Strainer uses your attempt to whip it out of the floor. After several moments, you pause to regain your strength, confident that with considerable effort you'll be able to tear free the piece of iron. Alright, there's no way to actually fail at this check. I rolled pretty much as low as you could realistically get with 55 and nothing happened. It's just, if you roll well, you get up to the required total number faster. Picking the number again with 69. After several moments, you would pause to regain your strength. Confident with additional effort, you'll succeed in tearing free the piece of iron. Attempting to tear it from the floor, yep. Alright, 118. Alright, check again. 107. You pull and pry at the iron plate, straining as you attempt to whip it out of the floor. Suddenly, the sound of splintering wood greets your ears as the piece of iron begins to tear free. You stagger backwards and nearly topple over as the iron plate suddenly tears free from the wooden planks, its sturdy bolts rattling against the pitted surface. After steadying yourself, you set the plate aside and peer into the opening in the floor it's so conspicuously covered. Resting at the bottom of the shallow space beneath the opening is a rounded, flat, grey stone. You pick up the stone and will later discover it bears a blue glyph depicting three eyes over which arcs a bent arrow. The insignia of Cladonbrook. The symbol adorning the stone briefly flashes a brilliant shade of blue, but the glow rapidly fades. You've just found the first of Cladonbrook's seven glyphs. So I now have a glyph of Cladonbrook. It's got an encumbrance of one. So that gives you an incentive to get this quest done with, because you'll be carrying those things around. And that takes up space that you could use to carry more loot. Although, admittedly, even if you had seven of them, it would only be space for one longsword. So. But still, it adds up. It's got, yeah, it's a misc item, as you'd expect. This rounded, flat, grey stone bears a blue glyph that depicts the insignia of Cladonbrook, a trio of eyes over which arcs a bent arrow. When you acquire seven of these glyphs, you should either return them to Githala at the Privordian Owlhouse or Cladonbrook at the Bubbling Cauldron. Alright, I'll have to remember to do that. But I'll probably be reminded at the time. Or maybe something will turn up. After taking a few moments to carefully tuck the stone in amongst your other belongings, you make your way out of the charred ruins of the alehouse. Wondering how it is you'll manage to locate the other six glyphs? Suddenly, you've just stepped away from the ruins of the Boiled Hammer. When someone taps you on the shoulder, instinctively, you spin around and draw yourself into a defensive stance, only to find yourself face to face with a wag-clad old man. His face concealed by what you can only describe as unnatural shadow. "The next of that lot you seek is elsewhere," he croaks. "Six more to find. I'll keep you quite busy. Seek the second in the City of Griffins. It isn't supposed to be there. But there it resides. Unfortunately, I have no map to give you." Suddenly, a strange sensation washes over you, blurring your vision and leaving your head swimming. Slowly, your vision clears, but as the world around you comes back into focus and your thoughts settle, you're startled to find the wag-clad old man standing before you is now a young boy garbed in cloth finery. The lad, clearly sharing your bewilderment, blurts out something incoherent before turning and washing off and disappearing around a bend in the lane. As you stand staring off in the direction in which the boy departed, the words of the old man echo in your mind. Seek the second in the City of Griffins. I have no map to give you. Confident that the somewhat cryptic references to Talonus, you begin to contemplate an immediate journey to the Tysian capital. Alright, there we shall go. Travel, central, City of Talonus. Let's save here, in case something turns up. No map. Wait, map maker. Okay, I've done this before, so I know this, but... Visit Eloquin the map maker. This is the shop of Eloquin, a master map maker and part-time adventurer. The diminutive young woman whose skill with the sword has been finely honed under the tutelage of Throthar spends most of her days here making detailed maps for all manner of clients throughout Tysium and beyond. It's a well-known fact that Arakanan bolsters her income by selling information regarding the location of certain explorable places to which her main profession has made her privy. Anyway, we've got all the maps we can get from her, so let's just get to the point. Converse with Eloquin. Eloquin seems only too pleased to put aside her work and speak with you. Okay, yeah, this is the same as before. Let's leave the shop. We got suddenly. As you're about to leave Eloquin's shop, your eyes are suddenly drawn to a small display case set against the near wall. Peering into the case, you're startled to find it contains a flat, rounded grey stone bearing Cladderwork's glyph. The blue symbol on the stone, the insignia of Cladderwork, briefly flares. The case is locked. Inquire with Eloquin about the stone. Eloquin tells you he recently acquired the marked stone from a peddler passing through the city. Such a strange piece, he says, that I thought it best to provide a space for its display. Interested in it? I might be willing to part with it for the right price. The adventurer mapmaker tells you she'll sell the stone for 500 gold. Most certainly magical, though I can't say I know anything else about it. To be completely honest, I wish someone would buy it. There's already been a number of attempts to steal it. So I've got three options. Decline the purchase and leave, which just means you have to choose one of the other choices later. You can pay 500 gold for the stone or attempt to steal the stone. Now, I'm going to attempt to steal the stone and then not steal it. Then quit without saving so it didn't happen. I'm just going to steal the stone just so I know what happens. Because 500 gold really isn't worth making a fuss about. When you're a master adventurer who can easily take down hordes of respawning monsters. I'm sure for the average guy on the street, the farmers, craftsmen, militia, people of the rank and file of the Tysian army, 500 gold is a lot. But when you're a master adventurer, it isn't. Okay, stealing the stone, just to see what happens. Attempt to steal the stone. You linger about the shop, making conversation with Eloquin, until she eventually excuses herself and disappears into a back room to fetch some maps for a client, who will be arriving shortly to acquire them, wasting no time. Draw out your trusty set of tools and endeavour to silently pick the lock on the display case. You hurriedly begin to attempt to pick the lock, doing your best to focus on the delicate task, while trying to remain aware of Eloquin's location. Picking a number. Bonus of 55. 38 from thievery.
10 from agility, 7 from luck. Pick now. 106. You nimbly toil away at the lock that holds fast the lid of the display case, making excellent progress against a well-designed device. After pausing to rest your fingers, you quickly prepare to resume your exacting work. So, alright, this is one of those cumulative checks. It's another one of those. Yep, they made their debut in this adventure, and they've turned up in several others. You seem to be making progress on the lock. You only hope you're able to spring you before an air crew returns. Picking a number, bonus 55, pick now. For 73. You nimbly toil away at the lock that holds fast the lid of the display case, making only minimal progress against a well-designed device. After pausing to test your fingers, you quickly prepare to resume your exacting work. Alright, doing a check again. 95 leads to you nimbly toil away at the lock that holds fast the lid of the display case, making decent progress against a well-designed lock. After pausing to rest your fingers, you quickly prepare to resume your exacting work. You feel it won't be long now until the lock suddenly springs. Keeping that hopeful notion in mind, you continue to work the lock with your hands. Same check again, pick now. 56. You nimbly toil away at the lock. That is as bad a result as I could possibly get with my current bonuses I have. You nimbly toil away at the lock that holds fast the lid of the display case, making only minimal progress against a well-designed device. After pausing to rest your fingers, you quickly prepare to resume your exacting work. You're certain the lock is almost ready to spring, praying that Ilka will remain away for at least the next minute or so. You hurriedly strive to complete your nefarious endeavour. Same check again, pick now. 151. Success. Well, it's not really, there's no success. All the checks are success, it's just you get greater degrees of success. You nimbly toil away at the lock that holds fast the lid of the display case, making excellent progress against a well-designed device. After pausing to rest your fingers, you quickly prepare to resume your exacting work. 64 experience to thievery. A soft click from the lock signals your success. With barely a sound, you flip the display case lid and retrieve the glyph marked stone. That's the second glyph of Cladderwick. Fearing that Cladderwick will at any moment return, you quietly lower the lid and dart out of the Maxmaker's shop, now in possession of the second of Cladderwick's glyphs, suddenly. As you step back onto the street, a fat grey cat scurries in front of you, nearly tripping you up as you endeavour to avoid stepping on it. The feline swirls to face you, and you find your gaze transfixed by its glowing blue eyes. A soft voice slips into your thoughts as you stare into the cat's dazzling eyes. Find what you are looking for near the ruins of Tarn, intones the whispering voice. That will make for free you that have passed into your creeping. Beware that. Suddenly, a strange sensation washes over you, blurring your vision and leaving your head swimming. As your vision begins to clear and your surroundings slowly come back into focus, you're surprised to discover the fat grey cat, those dark, glowing eyes transfixed your gaze, is now a wretched black rat. The sinky vermin swiftly darts into the nearby alley, hugging the base of the wall as it streaks off into the shadows. While attempting to make sense of the strange episode, the whispered words that have just passed through your mind echo amidst your thoughts. Find what you're looking for near the ruins of Tarn. Still gathering your bearings, you move off along the street and set your sights on Tarn. wondering what may await you in the ruined city of sorcerers. Okay, now to quit without saving and get that glyph without stealing it. Because mechanically speaking, if you only care about mechanics, you should probably steal it because you don't lose money and you get XP. But stealing something that you could easily buy, that's not particularly heroic. Leave the shop. Acquire out the stone. Pay a 500 gold for the stone. Elkarin unlocks the case and hands you the stone. There. Don't go showing that off, she says. The amount of interest that little piece has garnered is somewhat incredible. Someone may try to knock you over the head and take it. Not me, of course. But the second Gladwick's glyphs now safe in your possession, you bid Elkarin farewell and leave her shop. Suddenly, and then that's the same as before, you meet the cat, but it's actually a rat. You will find what you're looking for near the ruins of Tarn. And that is where we will go in the next episode. To the ruins of Tarn to find more of the glyphs of Gradawok. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.